Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Vin Scully, what a life in full this man led.
There's 29,000 people in the ballpark and 1 million butterflies.
This is such a masterpiece. It's the radio call of Sandy Koufax's perfect game.
Bob Costas here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Earlier on the show, voice of Thursday Night Football, Al Michaels. Iowa head coach, Kirk Ferentz. Actor, Theo Rossi. Coming up, NFL Network insider, Tom Pelissero. Host of USC Fight Passes, The Nosebleeds, Randy and Jason Sklar. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of this year, television and radio simulcast program on Peacock, Sirius XM 85, Odyssey app, terrestrial radio, coast to coast, and the Rich Eisen Terrestrial Radio Audience Network, along with our podcast available through the Cumulus Podcast Network. Hour number three of that program is on the air. That's what we say in the business. And by the business, I mean the industry. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you, sir?
I'm great.
Okay. DJ Mikey D. Is
Hi, Rich.
Nuts.
How you doing?
TJ Jefferson lit the candle 2 hours ago, and we've had a great show since then.
Haven't we, though?
I think it's the candle.
Have we not?
I'm saying, haven't we, though?
Yeah. We have. We absolutely have.
In the business, too.
Yeah, in the business and
Staten
the industry.
Island, Rich.
Yeah.
Business. We talk Staten Island.
Shaolin. We did with Theo Rossi. It was fun.
Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang.
Yeah, he's like, I spoke to Method Man 2 days ago.
Right.
All righty. That's the most Staten Island thing you can say, pretty much.
Right.
The Sklar brothers are going to be here. Randy and Jason Sklar on this program. They have rebooted their hit show Cheap Seats from back in the day. It's called The Nosebleeds on UFC Fight Pass. We had Al Michaels in hour number one talking about his friend Vin Scully. We also had Kirk Ferentz of Iowa football. We've had a good time chatting with our friends and fans. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your calls later on in this hour. But we turn to the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line and finally hook up with somebody who's been working like crazy for my compadres at the NFL Media Group, one of our top insiders, and certainly one in the top insiders in the business on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is Tom Pelissero. How you doing, Tom?
Rich, it's, what do we got here, about 2 o'clock Eastern time. There's not been an emergent situation today for me to go on TV for four straight hours.
How about that?
So I'm holding my breath, but I'm glad that I was able to pick up on the first ring this time.
Look at us, Tom. Look at us, how we've evolved. Are you in Canton, or where are you, Tom?
I'm in Philadelphia.
Ah.
I drove here from Pittsburgh last night, and I'll be heading on to the Jets camp next. 13 teams in 13 days. Doesn't get any better than that.
I love it. Okay, so let's take them one at a time. What is going on in Pittsburgh? You know, and you got to, at this time of year, be very careful what you're reading and blogging and live blogging of practices. But for all accounts, nobody's lighting things up. Or Mason Rudolph has the lead based on the play that we've seen or reporters are talking about in practice. What did you glean from Pittsburgh?
If the Steelers had to play a game tomorrow, it's a pretty good bet Mitch Trubisky would be the starting quarterback. But they don't play a game tomorrow, and they're going to take their time sorting this thing out. You very rarely have a true three-way quarterback battle, but from everyone I spoke to when I was in Pittsburgh, it sounds like that's legitimately how they're approaching it. Mitch Trubisky got all the first-team reps through the first week of camp. Yesterday, Trubisky and Mason Rudolph split the first-team reps. I was told that was a pre-planned rotation. They've also been moving Kenny Pickett around. He was with the third team initially. Then they moved him up to the second team where he played better, which makes sense because he didn't have as much pressure on him, even in the no-hitting-the-quarterback setting of training camp. But I caught up with Mike Tomlin when he was coming off our NFL Network set, and I just asked him, are you going to have to give each of these guys a preseason start? And what he said was, I don't care about when they play. I just care about them being able to function no matter what's going on around them. In other words, they're going to mix it up. They're going to look at everybody with the first team and the second team and the third team. Right now, you know, Deontay Johnson just signed his contract, so he'll be back at practice, but Chase Claypool's been out, and Pat Freiermuth has been out, Najee Harris has been banged up of late. So, you know, there's been a lot of challenges for those quarterbacks. Has anyone stepped forward and grabbed the job yet? No, but it's early in camp, and the Mason Rudolph thing is real. He has flashed in camp. He's had a solid camp. They've obviously got the most book on him in terms of what he is as a quarterback, but let's see how this thing evolves. It's going to be one of the fun on-the-field storylines through the course of the preseason.
And then now you're in Philadelphia. What's the story there for this Philadelphia Eagles team that has Jalen Hurts at the controls for a full season now for a second season, a run game that now could be supported by an aerial attack featuring A.J. Brown? Is that it? Is that the story, or is it on defense? What do you got for me, Tom?
That's a huge part of it, is bringing in A.J. Brown. I mean, A.J. Brown, I don't have many favorites in the league, but as a guy and a player, I love everything about A.J. Brown. He came on with me and Sean O'Hara for NFL Network after practice. Jalen Hurts crashed the interview, so we talked to the two of them together. They're buddies. They've known each other a long time, and those two, plus Devontae Smith, spent a bunch of time together between mini camp and training camp, working out together. AJ posted some photos of them like running hills in the rain and stuff like that. Like, they're all tight. So you've got some just natural chemistry there. But then watching, you know, AJ Brown duking it out with Darius Slay in one-on-ones in practice, they've got some star power on this team. They've got some really talented players. You're hoping that some of the, you know, the older veterans, the Jason Kelseys and the Fletcher Coxes, can, you know, give you one more run here. That's why they're taking their shot. I would also say that they're cautious about, you know, people pumping them up as a, you know, one of the favorites at this point. I don't think that nationally that's how they're perceived, but, you know, anytime you have a first-year head coach who, you know, finishes hot and makes the playoffs like Nick Sirianni did, there's always that danger that then if you don't start hot again the following season, it's, well, what's wrong? Especially when they went out, you know, and got Brown and they got James Bradbury. They've really added a lot of talent, and they also added, I'm not kidding you, Rich, in all my time covering the NFL, I can name on one hand the number of humans I've seen bigger than Jordan Davis, their first-round pick out of Georgia. He was standing next to Fletcher Cox, and Fletcher Cox looked small. Fletcher Cox is one of the biggest humans I've ever seen in the league, too. So it'll be fascinating to see a guy that athletic and that big, what he can do as a rookie.
Tom Pelissero, my colleague from the NFL Media Group and insider right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's jump headfirst into the Deshaun Watson appeal of Sue L. Robinson's 6-game suspension. Walk me through what the NFL's thinking is now and what happens next, Tom.
Well, the NFL's thinking in filing the appeal is, for one thing, they can. They usually defend their rights within the CBA. It is their right within the CBA, and the union has it too, to appeal any suspension. And then the second part of it is they wanted a, you know, they pushed for a minimum one-year banishment with the possibility of reinstatement in 2023. And when they filed their appeal brief against the NFLPA's very publicly stated wishes, they once again asked for the same thing, which is an indefinite suspension of at least 1 year with the possibility of conditional reinstatement in 2023. They've also wanted to substantially fine Deshaun Watson because the way that his contract is structured, which is a common structure, but big signing bonus, which doesn't count for a suspension, minimum base salary. They want him to have to pay a monetary price as well. And that's where, you know, the settlement talks got hung up. You know, we're on both fronts. Those go back to within the hearing. Once it became clear, you know, as I've been talking about for several weeks here, it would have shocked anyone who was involved with the hearing if they got 1 year from Sue L. Robinson because of the way that she addressed her narrow powers on, as disciplinary officer under the collective bargaining agreement. She's not permitted to rewrite precedent. She's not permitted to rewrite the CBA or the personal conduct policy. She can work off of, you know, what exists. The NFL's argument was, well, there is no precedent for what we say Deshaun Watson did. The NFLPA would say you have to go off the precedent. And therein lies the disagreement. The NFL was willing to settle both back in July and or early July and last week prior to the disciplinary decision for less than a year and a hefty fine. Deshaun Watson, who, for better or worse, has denied all wrongdoing in these cases, was not willing to accept it. So the 6-game suspension comes in. The NFL appeals. Roger Goodell gets to a point who hears that appeal. You know, history suggests it'll be somebody else within the league office. And then if they can't work out a settlement prior to that disciplinary or the appeal hearing, which is no sooner than next week and until a decision is rendered, then in all likelihood, you're going to have an increase in the suspension up to or as high as 1 year minimum banishment, and then the NFLPA in all likelihood will then sue in federal court. And then once, one thing I've learned covering enough cases in federal court here is once things leave the collectively bargained process and go into the court, everyone loses control of the timeline.
So what would the timeline be? Would it wind up from what you're hearing in Watson playing while this gets hammered out, or he sits the first six games and then this thing needs to be decided before week seven hits and the Browns are in a state of limbo through the first month and a half of the season?
As our colleague Judy Batista put it well on Good Morning Football today, it is murky. It seems unlikely that Deshaun Watson would be playing in week one since, in essence, he has accepted a six-game suspension. However, this is a new disciplinary process. It is not played out before at any level, including the courts, but also at the actual CBA-dictated disciplinary officer and appeals level. And so it's hard to make a firm prediction, just like everything else within the course of this process. What we do know is history will tell you if a player is suspended for a minimum, banished for minimum 1 year, they're also not allowed to participate in training camp. So now you have a possibility, since the NFL and the NFLPA and everyone involved is supposed to have this heard on an expedited basis. Let's say next Friday, just throwing out a date. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen this week. The PA still has to respond. Let's say next Friday, they come down and say Deshaun Watson is now banished for a year. If they're going off how they've always treated these cases, he's immediately out of camp. He can't participate in the preseason. And that's where that would accelerate the time frame for the NFLPA then to go to federal court and try to get a temporary restraining order to get him back into camp in the preseason. Would a judge then say he can play week one? Again, it seems unlikely. It most likely would be, okay, it's six games was agreed to. It's anything on top of that that we have to look at here. But we just don't know because the process hasn't played out before.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's your reporting on how the league investigated Stephen Ross and came up with, that he was kind of not to be taken seriously when he was trying to order a tank job, but he definitely 100% along with another member of his ownership team go after Brady and Sean Payton in a way that was so brazen, they took away two draft choices and $1.5 million Stephen Ross dollars. What's your reporting there?
In terms of the tanking allegation, if Stephen Ross, in fact, offered $100,000 to lose games, you would think there'd probably be a paper trail if he paid off on that, absent 11, I believe it was, losses in that season, 11$100,000 payments into Brian Flores' bank account, it's difficult to prove what the intentions were. We know what Brian Flores said, which was it was a serious offer. We know that Stephen Ross has said in very clear terms that the allegations were false and defamatory. It's a tricky one, Rich, because you're talking about what people implied in conversations, though they didn't occur in front of other people. But the fact that that came out at the same time as the findings in the tampering investigation is certainly not an accident. You know, whatever mistakes Stephen Ross did, and the NFL made clear, you shouldn't talk the way he did, even if it's in jest. No one can know. We can't say that stuff. But it gives the appearance that the discipline that was laid out in terms of the first-round pick in 2023, third-rounder in 2024, the fine, the suspension, even though Stephen Ross can still attend games, that was all strictly from the tampering allegation. And only the league office truly knows how they arrived at those specific penalties. What we do know is that is major, major discipline. That is up there with the stiffest discipline that we have seen, certainly for an owner, but for a club to lose two prime picks like that in recent NFL history. And it was, talking paper trails, it's a lot easier to track. Tom Brady was talking to Bruce Beal and Stephen Ross on a regular basis, and apparently Sean Payton had contact with them as well. You got text messages, you got phone records, everything else. And if anybody knows that they have to turn over their phone in an NFL investigation, it's probably Tom Brady. I'm not saying he did.
Good one.
I'm just saying we know throwing your phone is something that's not looked upon kindly by the NFL.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, so now it appears certainly with Deontay Johnson, is everybody paid? Are there any other lingering issues somewhere other than Jimmy Garoppolo as an outstanding issue? If so, what are they? And then hit me on what's going on with Garoppolo and where he might wind up. What do you got for me, Tom?
Those are the big ones. You know, Derwin James is still holding at this point. That's going to be one to watch. So is Russell Wilson. You know, he's participating and doing everything. He's got 2 years left on his contract. But at some point, you know, the Broncos, they have been looking at this. They have been speaking with his agent. It's just a matter of, does something get done at a time that Deshaun Watson's five-year, $230 million fully guaranteed contract is that target that everybody is aiming for. In terms of Jimmy Garoppolo, continues to sound like everything is going well from a rehab perspective. There's just not a team jumping to the forefront right now to make a trade for a guy who is still working his way to the, you know, back to fully 100% and hasn't thrown in a team setting since he underwent shoulder surgery back in late February, early March. You know, is it possible he gets traded? Well, it's possible there's a quarterback or two who get hurt in the next few weeks here. But with each passing day, it certainly raises the chances that Jimmy Garoppolo, at the end of this, sometime around cutdown day, ends up getting released, because otherwise the 49ers are carrying a $20-odd million salary on their books for a backup quarterback. They've made very clear Trey Lance is the guy. Barring an injury to Trey Lance, which, again, always possible. He got hurt a couple times last year when he played. But barring that, you know, their hands are a little bit tied as we get down to it here, and we just have to see whether or not there's some type of situation that generates a market for Garoppolo.
And speaking of not throwing for, you know, in team activities right now, you got the defending world champion quarterback and Matthew Stafford. What's the concern level there with Stafford here in Los Angeles, Tom?
Well, I would say on Stafford, he deals with so much. He has so many injuries. He's not the youngest guy anymore, obviously. And he's just, you watch him play, Rich. I mean, he takes hits. He's always got, you know, a banging a thumb on a helmet or something. So he's been dealing with this tendon issue in his throwing elbow that's just been limiting him here. You never want to hear a quarterback with elbow issues in the first week of camp, but they'll manage him just like they did through last year when he was dealing with a variety of different stuff. And if anybody's going to rise to the bell come that September 8th opener, it's Matthew Stafford.
All right, Tom Pelissero, thanks for the time. Travel safe. Let's do this again when on the back end of Canton. Thanks very much, sir.
Thanks, Rich.
You got it. At Tom Pelissero on Twitter, a must follow. I follow him. You should as well. Let's go to break. The Sklar brothers, Randy and Jason, two delightful, hilarious human beings. They've got a new show on UFC Fight Pass called The Nosebleeds. Don't miss these gents. When we come back, they're here in person. Back here at the Sklar Brothers here on The Rich Eisen Show. Randy and Jason Sklar, for those terrestrial radio listeners, we just saw a hilarious John Hamm-fronted sketch from a clip of the new show, The Nosebleeds, with the Sklar Brothers that you can see on UFC Fight Pass. It's already started this past weekend right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Great, again, to see you guys here.
You too. Thank you.
So did you basically go pitch these guys at UFC? Like, hey,
we'd love
to
do
this. The cheap seats that we used to do back in the day.
Rich, we've done a ton of shows. You know that. You've been so generous to have us come on and promote these shows when we've done
always.
Them. But through our career, the show that people keep telling us, we want you to bring back cheap seats. How can you do that?
From the ESPN Classic.
From the classic days, which it was on all the time. And I love that they like to tell us, like, oh, it's not really getting great ratings, yet everyone saw it.
You know, we're like backstage at the Rome show, and Snoop Dogg is like, hey, man, that's my cheap seats. We're like, yes. Aaron Rodgers in the store is like, cheap seats? Where's your brother? And I'm like, okay, I don't believe that people weren't watching this show.
Yes.
Tons of people watch it. Tons of people were like, bring it back. We always were looking for who's going to do this. Let us do this the way we want to do it. Crowley Sullivan. I don't know if you remember that gentleman.
Of course, that name sounds familiar.
Michigan State's owned Crowley Sullivan. He's wonderful. He ran ESPN Classic, bounced around, ends up at the UFC, builds up their Fight Pass, which is their streaming service, and he goes.
Which is like their classic. It's like their library of all the
fights, every old everything that they've ever produced. And he said, "All right, I want to do original programming." And they said, "Yes, you can." First phone call was to us. He said, "Do you want to redo Cheap Seats?" And we said, "Yes, but can we call it The Nosebleeds because it's about fighting.
It's fighting."
He said, "Yes."
I thought that was because ESPN was going to sue your ass.
No, I mean, that's a good point.
And literally, I don't care. But they were like, okay. No. And so, but it's fine. We were like, let's do something new, but it has the spirit of the old show. and we go into the original moments of UFC. First episode's available on YouTube. It's on UFC's YouTube page. Yes. It's UFC 1. UFC 1, Denver, Colorado, 1993. Now, when did you start SportsCenter in 90?
I started in 96.
96. So go back to that moment. You're still at Michigan, or you would maybe just graduate.
93, I'm 3 years clear.
Okay. 3 years clear.
Right. I'm actually, if you really I'll must know, I mean, I could go deeper.
Yeah.
But I was a staff writer for the Staten Island Advance, wondering where I was going with my career and my life.
You're like an untatted Pete Davidson. Okay? Staten Island zone. That's you're doing your every Kardashian too. Wants to be with you. We get it.
Inkless Pete Davidson.
Inkless Pete is a great name for a fantasy team.
Your fantasy
it
team.
Does sound it also sounds what? Like a character from Breaking Bad, but anyway,
totally, okay. Totally. See, English Pete is
so
all not
UFC. What did UFC 1 look like?
It looked hilarious. First of all, Jim Brown was
for some reason is like a co-announcing.
Yeah, our joke was Jim Brown,
like CBS's James
no,
Brown,
no, Jim Brown, the, like running
the,
back,
player?
The running back,
the
Dirty
what?
Dozen.
Hold on a minute, Jim Brown yeah, was an analyst for UFC 1.
Our joke was, OJ Simpson not available? And Randy's like, he was, or was he?
It was the mid 90s. He was in,
wasn't booked. He was in the process of being booked. Right. So,
ladies and gentlemen, the nosebleeds with the Sklar Brothers. Okay.
It's so fun. I mean, Brian Kilmeade from Fox and Friends was the ring, like in the ring reporter.
He was the Joe Rogan before what? Joe Rogan.
Not even Joe Rogan. He was lower than that. He was just in the ring, being like, "There's padding on this fence," and you're like, "Okay, Brian." And it's like it's hilarious. The whole thing is crazy. No weight classes.
Yeah, so you have a sumo wrestler
fighting a Savate guy. You've got some guy's tooth gets kicked out, and they have to end the fight.
Art Jimerson, a boxer, fights Hoist Gracie, he's one of the legends of jiu-jitsu. Jitsu,
yes,
and he fights him with one boxing glove. The other hand doesn't have a glove on it.
Always good to telegraph where your punches are coming from.
That's right.
Nice work.
Nice job. Even Michael Jackson was like, put on another glove. Yeah. I mean, at this point. Yes. And you don't want to take advice from that guy about anything.
Now, were there any celebrities, luminaries that were octagon side and back in the day?
No.
Nobody. So, how it's grown.
Not even like Orlandis Gary. I'm trying to name a 93 Bronco. I'm predating Orlandis Gary. Yeah. I'm just trying to like,
that's
who is,
a good one.
Was a 93
Dante
Bronco?
Dante Bichette? Maybe would have been. Because it's a young Todd Helton out of school.
Young Andres Galarraga.
The big cat.
You know, was on the 93 Colorado Luminary right. Sports
I mean, those
fans,
teams. But... Those teams.
So, okay. So
it's that, but it's also like the first episode of The Ultimate Fighter, which was their,
kind of reality show that really saved the brand. Like when UFC kind of was struggling to establish itself, they were like, we need more stars. They do this, The Ultimate Fighter reality show, and all of a sudden, a lot of those guys go on to start fighting and make a name for themselves, and everyone's behind them, and then the brand expands. But in the first episode, it's crazy. Some dude's fighting some other guy. Some guy pees on someone else's bed. It's magical.
Pees on his bed while they film it.
His excuse was, I just spritzed his bed.
We're like, I don't think R. Kelly would buy that excuse.
Yeah, I don't know if that flies with that guy.
Just calm.
I shouldn't laugh at that. Not funny.
Guys in jail. But the point is, this show, Randy and I were trying to think, I don't think there's another show on TV or streaming or anywhere that has as many jokes per second.
You can watch it over and over.
It's loaded in there.
And they're all under 20 minutes. We're like, let's make them under 20 minutes so that
they whip
easy
by
viewing,
fun.
Whips by.
Sure.
It's good. Great.
So the Nosebleeds with the Sklar Brothers, UFC Fight Pass. You can check it out. Again, it premiered last Saturday, July 30th. Additional episodes release on August 20th right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'll be honest with you. For some reason, if you had asked me when did the UFC begin, when would UFC 1, I would not have said 93.
What would you have thought, like 2002 or something like that?
I would have thought later than that even.
Really?
Yeah.
So, again, think of how it's grown even in the last 5-10 years. It's grown to a place.
Randy and I were like, the flashpoint for us, and maybe Brockman, you'll agree with this, and I don't know if you'll agree with this, I don't know how much of a boxing fan you are, but when boxing kept refusing to make the Pacquiao Mayweather fight and kept holding that away from
us. They weren't refusing, just the two sides couldn't get together.
Agree, but I'm saying
no governing body
to split up the nine-figure pot.
Right. I mean, so then that fight kept not happening. Meanwhile, UFC's over here making every fight you want to see every single week.
I don't think that fight took so long to make. Pacquiao released three albums during that period of time.
Two Christmas, one Hanukkah album.
But Pacquiao, it was that thing where you go, oh, wait, over here, they're making these fights and they're great. Yeah, and Conor McGregor's growing up. This past Saturday, they made Peña Nunes 2.
Right.
The first fight was 8 months ago, and it was an amazing fight, which if it were boxing, you wouldn't see it for 3 years.
So what is the goal here? To every single time there is a UFC fill-in-the-blank, there's a nosebleeds group of shows that come with it.
So there's
that's the idea.
Yeah, I mean, there's a deep, deep reservoir of all the stuff. Like, we did an event that happened during the pandemic in Alaska that was looked like it was filmed in
this
someone's...
This is like episode five of this run, right?
It was filmed in someone's backyard. It looked like a backyard thing. And everything about it, the mic was hot. It kept blowing out. You have people announcing, like the announcer came up in the ring with his hat clipped to his belt buckle.
Like, I think no one's going to steal your hat, man.
Yeah, you're the announcer. You could leave it at the table, bro.
They're shooting through the fence. We're like, can't you shoot from a drone? I mean, it's Alaska. Doesn't everyone have
a drone in Alaska?
Yeah, right.
And so, it was really fun to do. And that just happened last year. And then you go all the way back into the 90s. UFC 1, UFC 2, UFC 3.
Well, another clip that we were going to show, but it just didn't work for people listening on the radio, which is a large part of our audience.
Right.
You doing the, if you will, cheap seats or nosebleeds.
Right.
Version of a butterbean fight.
We did two butterbean fights. And first of all, everyone called him, all the ring announcers called him Butterbean. We're like, so his first name is Butter and his last name is Bean?
Sort of like a two name thing?
Right. I think it's all one.
It's Butterbean. It's like connected, like the top of his head to the back of his neck. Connect everything.
That's what I ever thought. Like he's the brother of Jelly.
Right? Yes,
you know what
right.
I mean? Like that's what it is. It's many different.
Butterbean.
Lima. It's Lima time.
Yeah. It's Lima time.
Before Jose took it from
that guy's never seen a green vegetable. Come on, guys.
He said he looks like if Michael Chiklis shielded himself from vegetables. That's what Butterbean looks like. I'm sure if Butterbean finds us, he's going to catch us both.
But
we looked it up. He's still alive, right?
So still with
he's
us.
He's still kicking?
He's only 55.
But seriously, that's a miracle. He's 408 pounds. It's a miracle that he's still kicking.
He's still with us.
He is still with us. I think he has a restaurant, like a barbecue restaurant down
in Mr. I thought it would have been great if he had like a creation type smoothie place. The exact opposite.
Color Me Mine? He has like a studio where they just make small pottery for children.
No, he does
not. But
come on, man.
Those things are great.
But it would be called Butter Me Mine.
Butter Me Mine!
Butter Me Mine.
Why are we coming up with these ideas for Butterbean?
You know what? We're spitballing.
I love it. I love it.
It's like a nosebleeds.
It's like a nosebleeds out here. But look, UFC for years had to fight to be an accepted sport and fight to have that sort of acceptance in the mainstream. So for a long time, it's like you can't make fun of yourself as you're making
other people are making fun of you as a sport.
What's cool is like at this point right now, they're like, we can look back at what we were in 1993. Like we can look at our yearbook picture in 1990, knowing who we are today and say, why were
today? Obviously our fashion sense is strong.
Jason looks like when did you become a gymnastics coach in Romania in 1987?
It does look like you're about to carry Kerry Strong off.
Yeah, that's right.
Help her off the mat.
She needs to learn to work through the pain, is what I'm trying to say. She worked through a lot of pain.
Seriously, you've got something, Randy, on like from the Andy Reid collection.
Jason,
you look like a Jewish Magnum P.I.
Fine. Menachem P.I. I'll take it.
You look like a porn star's uncle, is what you look like.
I look like a porn star's uncle who also works at Trader Joe's. You know what I mean?
You look like you have 14 magazine subscriptions.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
That's what you look like.
And then this is a choice, though.
This jacket is very polarizing.
People love it or hate it.
For people listening at home, it is a fluorescent green jacket
with a hot pink
fuchsia lines and a blue line through it. It is There's well nobody would say put these three colors together and make a jacket, and yet he does it, and yet
it works.
People love it.
People
like,
do
people
love
absolutely
it.
Love it.
Well, people, I think that's what they'll be talking about this appearance right here on the Rich Eisen
Remember
Show.
Remember Chase Jacket?
Randy and Jason Sklar right here on the program. Okay, so is the idea, again, to get like maybe Dana White involved to... Can you get him involved to make fun of himself?
Yeah, we're going to try. So right. We wrote a bit for him to do in the show.
And he couldn't do it.
So the bit was, and it's in the Alaska episode, and we got Andy Richter to do it, which is, by the way, no small consolation.
He was in one of those chairs just last week.
Love him. The best. I love him. So we did it. We wrote a bit. The original bit was, what if we call up tech support because one of our computers is not working, and they open the door and it's Dana White. And we're like, your tech support?
He's like, yeah, and I got a lot to do.
What's wrong with the thing? And then he starts to try to fix the computer, eventually can't fix it, and just smashes the hell out of it.
Oh.
So fun. And we started writing for him. He obviously is too busy, but we're always going to try and think of something to drop him into because he likes the show. He thinks it's funny. He's seen the show. So him being in it, I think, is a further endorsement of it. We realize that we're like doing something that UFC has never done before, which is taking a full comedy swing. And we're not just trying to do like a humorous look at some of the weirdest nose breakings in the history that no, we are doing a full comedy show. And they supporting us is them supporting us is a huge deal.
It's, so who's the fighter that you'd want?
Who's the fighter that we'd want? I mean,
Tuivasa
would be great. Tai Tuivasa, who is the one who finishes his fight and then drinks a beer.
Pours a beer into a shoe. Not his shoe. An audience member
throws up their shoe with whatever athlete's foot is sitting in that thing. We're worried about COVID. This guy's drinking a beer out of someone else's shoe and then chugs the beer out of the shoe.
That guy would be great. Of course, Conor McGregor would be great. Of course, you know, I mean.
One of the funniest guys we've had on the show in almost 8 years was Israel Adesanya.
Amazing. He's funny.
He came on and talked about how he has visions of going into Allegiant Stadium of all places, right? That's the name of the Vegas Raiders, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he wants to go into the new Raiders home. It was nothing had happened there, and he said he wanted to take on John Bones Jones and scrape his nuts over him and in Las Vegas, Nevada. Like literally, that's the phrase he used. Correct.
Scrape his own nuts over him.
Yes, over. For some reason, that was the verbiage he used.
Yeah.
Stop me in my tracks.
I mean, okay.
It strikes me like he's got a certain dark comedic side to
him. There's a trash talking to him. Yeah, I saw him like in a press conference, and he was going back and forth with someone, and he's like, "I'm going to make a TikTok dance out of you." I was like, "That is
good."
Great. I mean,
please.
Patty
the Batty is kind of fun too. He'd be a great guy to have on the show.
Fantastic.
What we hope is, and what we're the people will see it, and we've had a bunch of fighters on the show in the first season, as you saw. Bobby Green was in it.
Yes.
Alex Perez did it. Forrest Griffin, who is fantastic, he did it. Yeah, that people will be like, oh, I want to do that show. We'll write something fun for you to do.
We got to get people to watch it. The first one's on YouTube. If you don't have Fight Pass, you can go to UFC's YouTube and type the Nosebleeds Sklar Brothers. You'll see it. Watch that episode. If you like it, mention you like it.
Okay.
And then and that's the way to support the show, and hopefully we'll get to make more next year.
Well, I mean, that's the way to support it. Everybody check out the Nosebleeds with the Sklar Brothers. And I would say farewell to you both, but you're back here on Friday.
I'm going to come back tomorrow as this drops, and it's going to be a blast. And
I'm heading off to Canton, Ohio.
You are? You're being enshrined?
I am not.
Okay. Do you know our story about Canton, Ohio?
I'm all ears.
Our mom's family moved to the States from the Holocaust to maybe a scarier place, Canton, Ohio. I'm just kidding. All right, so they go to Canton, Ohio, and
they escape Nazi Germany
to go to Canton, Ohio. They move there. We visit them yearly as kids. Okay. We're the biggest sports fans ever. It's no joke. We're huge sports fans. Every year we go to Canton, Ohio. We ask every year our dad, can we go to the Football Hall of Fame? The reason why most people go to Canton, Ohio.
That is correct.
It's like, nah, it's too expensive.
It's a ripoff.
It's a ripoff. We're like, you can take us once.
Are you joking? So we went for years and years and years and years, and we never went to
Have you never been to the Football
So we went
Bombers?
Later.
So we were doing stuff for the NFL
with
Network.
Our executive producer, who's the executive producer with the NFL Network, we went.
The Nosebleeds, David Nickel. He took us there.
Oh, yeah.
You know Dave.
He's
the EP on the Nosebleeds.
Very funny.
Fantastic dude.
Okay.
So we go to...
Nice combination.
And our Aunt Rita still lives in Canton, Ohio.
Amazing woman.
So we were only going to be
Aunt Rita only speaks like her texts are all caps.
All caps.
We're
and
like,
one
why?
time... One
One time she said to us, you know who I don't like? That Jay Leno. We're like, you mean Jay Leno? Who's only read it and never
You've
heard?
You've never heard someone say Jay Leno?
All right. So
because reading it looks
she's
like.
She's there, and we said, all right, we got a couple hours in Canton, and we have to shoot this thing for the NFL Network.
Yeah.
Meet us at the Football Hall of Fame, and we will simultaneously catch up with you and shoot this piece. And we decided to put it all in the piece. So we'd say to the guy who was curating the Hall of Fame, tell us about the bus room. Da, da, da. Hang on 1 second. Aunt Rita, how's Dennis and Gordon?
How are they doing?
How are your sons doing?
So we conducted a hangout with Aunt Rita and our first time at the
Hall of Fame.
And then they said, Aunt Rita, we love you. We're going to give you a lifetime pass
to the Hall of Fame.
Hey. And you can bring one guest, whoever you want.
And I think the Hall of Fame thought she would never use it. She is the kind of person who anytime she gets something, if it's free, even if she doesn't like it, she will use it until they tell them.
She has used it so much that the Hall of Fame is like,
they're going to do a cease and desist. They're going to be like, you got to stay away from the Hall of Fame.
You got to stay away.
This is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a story.
And you're going to have a great time.
It's a story, if I'm not mistaken, that is, it kind of touches upon everything about this great country. Immigration. Okay, immigrants, they got the job done.
They do.
Lin-Manuel Miranda from A Little Hamilton.
Uh-huh.
It tells a story of love of football.
Sure.
100%.
Our love of football, not being able to get in, and then eventually working hard, coming back year after year, and finally making it to camp.
And then a word that you guys will understand, the two of you scholars, the story of snoring.
Snoring.
The story of being a snorer.
Getting over your skis, you know, so to speak.
Overstaying your welcome in a spot where they say everyone's welcome.
That's
please
right.
come, please come visit. And they're telling Aunt Rita, enough with the Bronco Nagurski bust.
You're spending way too much time with the butt kiss bust.
Yeah.
But so while you're there, I'll be doing your show.
I appreciate it.
And Brockman and I will talk about being at the ESPYs together. I've got a great, I'll tease it.
Oh,
great Brandi Chastain story.
Amazing. Fantastic. Brandi Chastain story.
I'll tease that for tomorrow. We'll tell that tomorrow.
Can confirm.
Fantastic. You can't wear that shirt because everyone will remember that you wore it.
I'm going to wear a different shirt. I got more of these.
Okay.
There's more where that came from.
And if he has anything more from the Bella Caroli collection.
He's not going to be here. I ditched Jason.
Bella Caroli collection.
Yes, I need more of that.
Did you know he's got a fashion line?
Bella Caroli has a fashion line of very high polyester pants.
The Sklar Brothers. Check out the Nosebleeds with the Sklar Brothers on UFC Fight Pass and tell others to go check it out. Their podcast, their co-hosts of Dumb People Town, along with Dan Van Kirk. You can get that where all podcasts are acquired right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Thank you for filling in, Randy.
Love you, buddy.
Enjoy your vacation that causes you not to be here, Jason.
Sorry.
We'll see you down the road together.
For sure.
Sklar Thank Brothers you. On The Rich Eisen Show. Back here on The Rich Eisen Show. Chrome Soft has made everyone better. It just didn't make the best players better. Everyone better. Men, women, first-time major winners, repeat major winners, club champions, business golfers. The Chrome Soft family has the best tour performance for every type of performance. The regular Chrome Soft, I use it. It's designed for the widest range of golfers who want better feel, more distance, and incredible forgiveness. I'm telling you, you can feel the difference of hitting this golf ball. It gives me more confident standing over it. No, if I just put a good swing on it, good pass on it, it's going to go far. Chrome Soft X provides excellent spin consistency, tour level short game control. The Chrome Soft XLS is a lower spin golf ball on longer shots, firmer feel, still with a high spin around the greens. All of this means when you add it all up, it's so simple. Chrome Soft is better for the best and better for everyone. Find out which Chrome Soft is right for you at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft.
So from 85 to 2000,
oh God,
you were 12-3-2.
Uh-huh.
Dominant.
I know. That's when I went to school in 86.
Yep.
And then that went through John Cooper.
Yep.
And
but
then,
since 2000.
Right, oof, since the calendar
you know,
turned.
You've only won three.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's tough. And I've been going to Canton since 2003.
Yeah.
So it's only three times I've shown up in Canton.
Three times you've shown up in Canton with a wolf.
I assume. The first time I was there is in 2003, right, before NFL Network was born. And people are all like, what are you doing here, SportsCenter guy? I'm like, I'm here for NFL Network. When is it coming on the air? I've never heard of it. What is it? I haven't had people at the NFL front office who were there in Canton in 2003 in the summer saying, what is this NFL Network all about?
Well, 2004 would have been the first one, right?
No, that 2003.
They went before.
We went on the air. We went before.
Yeah. Oh, right. I got you.
Yeah. I was already gone. Stuff. I just got married. Right. I'm back from the honeymoon. It's August. Gotcha. They're like, do you want to go there? And I shot interviews. That was the one where I interviewed
we banked them.
The
banked
hardest hitters. We banked interviews that we then ran the next year so we could all leave to fly from Los Angeles to Canton and have something on the air. We ran those then. We and saved them for a year.
And they only went since then in 2011 and 2021.
So you're saying to me, when are the three Michigan wins against Ohio State this century? What are they?
2003.
Okay. But that would have been after I went there.
Right.
So you're telling me this is the third time I've gone to Canton. This will be the third time I've gone to Canton coming off of a win.
Because 2004 you went coming off a win.
Right.
This is the third one.
This will be the third time, but the first
jacket ceremony.
When did you start doing the jacket ceremony?
Yeah.
Oh, I forget. I've been doing it a while.
Well, 2012. So you won in 2011. So the 2012 jacket ceremony, you would have been off.
I don't think you did the jacket. This might be my first jacket off. You're going all in.
Yeah. Go first
all
jacket
bring
off.
Bring it all in. Just come in.
Like the Woo said, bring the ruckus.
Yeah.
Do I do I ask to have an entrance?
You want entrance song?
Of the fight song?
The fight song.
No. Yeah. No. Just I want. No. No.
You want someone to announce you?
Provocative. Yes. Like smoke. I want smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to come out like Mac Jones out of the green room, like Vince McMahon.
Yeah. Yeah. That walk. Yeah. Power walk.
Do that walk with my chest. Just come on up here. What's up, Canton? Yeah. How's everybody doing? A little bit better than last November?
You might want a Ric Flair strut, Rich. You might just want to come out like, woo.
We're here to celebrate the leaders and best.
You should find out DJ Khaled those victors tonight. To intro you.
What?
DJ Khaled, bring him in to intro you.
You're doing great. This is the energy.
This is the energy you want.
We want and we need. Yeah. DJ Khaled.
Yeah.
Another one. Touchdown.
Touchdown.
All right.
Bring
it. It was 42-27. In case you forgot the score.
Oh, no, I remember it.
I remember it.
Yeah. All the coaches who are being enshrined. Dick Vermeil, everybody. Dick Vermeil is going to be enshrined.
Yeah.
Unlike other coaches, not born on third base. How about that one?
That's a Ryan Day reference.
Wow. Everybody
although Jim Harbaugh has not explicitly confirmed he was referring to Ryan Day about being born on third.
What, inheriting the number two team in the nation?
From Urban Meyer, yes, that's the one.
Right.
Although he was the one who dialed up all the evil on Don Brown. As Urban was the CEO of the program. He was the CEO of the program just in. He brought that style to the NFL. Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
You know what today is?
August 4th.
Yeah, it's my nephew's birthday.
On August 4th, 1993. It was the day that Nolan Ryan went up and in on Robin Ventura, and Robin Ventura went up and out and got some noogies. Had to ask Nolan Ryan about that moment when he was on this program just a couple months ago. The time where Robin Ventura charged the mound on you, Nolan, what's your recollection of that day and that moment when he charged the mound on you?
There was a history between the White Sox and the Rangers that year of kind of bad blood. We had had a fight with them earlier in the year. And Robin's first time up at the plate, I left the ball out over the plate, and he got to hit the left field. And so the next time up, I was going to pitch him in, and I just got too far in to hit him. And I think because of the fact that we had had a fight earlier, and there were hard feelings between those two teams, that he just reacted.
Well, I mean, you were 20 years his senior, Nolan, so were you surprised that he was actually charging the mound on you?
Yeah, I think any time that happens, you're surprised by it, but mainly from Robin, because that wasn't his nature.
Right, at all. Was it your nature to give noogies to the top of his head, Nolan?
Well, I guess it was. You know, you just react to the situation, and as I've said, you know, when I go somewhere, it's about the third question that comes up is about Robin Ventura, and I always said, you know, it's of all the things that had happened in my career, that's the thing I'm remembered for.
There you go, it's Nolan Ryan.
Amazing.
Nolan Ryan Noogies would be a great baseball fantasy team name, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Don't you think that'd be great? Nolan's Noogies?
Nolan's Noogies.
It's a good candy.
All right, so I want to thank today's guests for being on this program. Al Michaels in Hour 1, great chat about Vin. Also want to thank Kirk Ferentz of Iowa Football. I want to thank Theo Rossi, the actor who's in the new film Emily the Criminal, my buddy from Staten Island. I felt like I just slipped Wu-Tang. Into an old shoe. Yeah.
Like I feel like I witnessed the birth Wu-Tang. Of a friendship today.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was nice to see.
It was good. I want to thank the terrific Tom Pelissero giving us all the information that we require. And the Sklar brothers, Jason and Randy. Randy will be in this chair tomorrow while I'm in Canton. You guys want to hear from me tomorrow? You want me to call in?
Yeah, I want to hear from what's going on in Canton.
I just want to check on your health tomorrow.
I'm flying in. Tomorrow I'm just I need to, you know, hydrate so I don't cramp up trolling on all the Buckeyes.
Your boy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mr. Method Man. I would like to maybe I'll chime in. I mean, Randy's a Michigan guy too, so
that's right.
I mean, it's your show, Rich. You can do that.
Well, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to disrupt
this
any
is the
flow.
Rich Eisen show.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. I don't want to disrupt any flow. Okay, so I'll do that, and then the following week I will be on vacation one last time, getting my time in before
I
inhale. All the NFL, and then exhale, and it'll be President's Day weekend.
Are you taking the hat with you?
You have a new hat for this vacation?
Is the hat going? Oh, the hat better go there.
The hat should go to Canton. Yeah. The hat. You talk about somebody
wear
wearing that hat.
I talk with my chest tomorrow.
Oh, man, you're going to piss them off.
I'm coming, Canton. I'm coming.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.